All right, my friends, welcome into the fifth hour of the Game Blitz here on 102.5, 106 for the game. Round one of the high school football playoffs have been simply outstanding tonight. We're going to effort more coaches. We're off the show tonight. We'll have a great time for you. We'll get you everything up today and get you ready for round two next week. But first, before we go anything else, it's time for the scoreboard update. Hit it, Kenny. All right, all these games are final. Beach over McGavick, 49-22. Blackman over Cookeville, 49-20. Brentwood over Collierville, 17-7. Cambridge over Gallatin, 48-0. Clarksville over Overton, 47-14. In overtime, Lake Wake Christian beats Clarksville Academy, 43-42. CPA over Boyd Buchanan, 27-16. DCA beats Fayette Academy, 45-0. East Nashville beats White House, 14-10. East Robertson over Polk County, 55-28. Fairview over Maplewood, 41-0. Fayetteville over South Fulton, 75-28. FRA over Knoxville Grace, 49-27. In double overtime, Lebanon beats Riverdale, 41-34. Lewis County over Cascade, 32-24. Marshall County over Chester County, 49-17. Moore County over McEwen, 28-14. Mount Julia over Lincoln County, 43-6. Mount Pleasant over Scotts Hill, 41-0. Nolensville beats Wilson Central, 41-3. Oakland over Shelbyville, 65-0. Page beats Green Hill, 48-21. Pearl Cone over Jackson Southside, 38-0. Ravenwood is upset. Well, I call it upset. Germantown beats Ravenwood tonight, 30-20. Smith County over Sycamore, 41-0. Smyrna over Hendersonville, 27-3. Springfield over Memphis Central, 27-7. Stowe Memorial over Hickson, 37-0. Upperman over Chattanooga Central, 34-7. Waverly beats Stratford, 52-24. Westmoreland beats Meigs County, 16-12. White County over Franklin County, 49-30. York over Cumberland Gap, 60-8. Bartlett beats Centennial, 46-21. Eagleville loses to Dresden, 45-14. Houston beats Independence, 49-10. Lexington over Greenbrier, 40-6. Davidson Academy beats North Point Christian, 29-14. Riverside beats Loretto, 49-3. Portland over Southwind, 11-7. Bledsoe over Harpeth, 22-0. Chattanooga Christian over Good Pasture, 27-7. Tyner beats Trousdale County, 47-14. Henry County over Dyer County, 49-14. And our friends Macon County lose to Red Bank, 21-14. Elijah, as we predicted, Lebanon Riverdale, what a game tonight, man. What a fantastic football game. It's too bad Riverdale had to lose and their season's over.
Yeah, it very unfortunate for them that their season's over. And they gave it like the best shot you could do, right? I mean, it seemed over at 28-7. We were talking about how there were a lot of disappointing games. We were comparing that to the Page Green Hill matchup. And man, there were a lot of really good 2-3 matchups that just didn't turn out the way we wanted to. And then once you complain, then we get the game of the night right after that. And the mental fortitude to be able to be down in the second half by 3 touchdowns when you're playing a defense like Lebanon's, and that's on the road to be able to do that against that football team and to be able to tie it up with 41 seconds left, it's remarkable. They have nothing to hang their head about with the season they had. I mean, they had to rebuild basically from the floor. You know, they ripped down to the studs. You lose 31 seniors on a team that was really, really good last year. And you're able to grow throughout the entire season and mature into a really good football team. And you almost parlayed that into a miracle playoff win. That's going to be something they can build on for next year, too. I mean, Riverdale's not going to be going anywhere. They're going to be a really solid team for years to come. And this was supposed to be a down year. And if your down year is you losing the first round and pushing a really good Lebanon team to 2 overtimes and erasing a 21-point deficit, then I'd like for that to be my down year. You know what I'm saying? So, yeah, nothing for them to hang their hat on. It was a really wild way for them to end their season. And if you're Lebanon, I mean, you – not going to say it, but you you made it out alive. And you get to play another game, and you get to try to rest up as much as you can and take on Oakland. And that's no easy task, but – man, that was that's the game of the night for sure.
It is. Real quick, got an update. Another overtime game. Coffee County just knocked off Stewart's Creek in overtime, 28-21. So you had that game in overtime and a double overtime in the Riverdale. So Coffee County moves on. They'll take on Blackman next week in round two. Lebanon will go and travel and take on Oakland. The lower bracket in 6A, it'll be Smyrna traveling to Beach. Clarksville will travel to Cane Ridge. And then the other story of the night besides the overtime games is the dominance of Memphis football in 6A over our boys from Williamson County. Germantown beat Ravenwood, Houston over Independence. Brentwood is the lone hope. And the 6A teams of Brentwood and Bartlett knocked off Centennial. That is the story tonight. All right, we've run over a bunch of things, so we'll go to the break. We'll effort more coaches in there. But I got to tell you, Elijah, this has exceeded what I thought first round of high school football would be. I thought we'd have a bunch of blowouts, maybe one or two close games. But my goodness, we got that times 50 tonight. It's been fantastic. All right, so we'll take a break. We'll come back, get more coaches. Yes. We got you till midnight right here. This is the Game Blitz on 102.5, 106.3, the game. All right, welcome back to the Game Blitz here on 102.5, 106.3. The game. Let's go now to the phone lines brought to you by Elijah Campbell Enterprises. Let's bring in the head coach at East Nashville High School, Coach Jamal Stewart, as his team wins tonight 14-10 over White House. Coach, congratulations on the win. My goodness, what a football game tonight.
Yes, sir. It was a tough one. Like I said, White House is a tough, hard-nosed team. They ran under us the whole game. Frank Gordon and Zach Beard made some plays to get us through it.
We were watching the last play of the game the night, the video. I mean, they were driving down there to get the sack. When you get the sack to win the game, what was going through your mind right then?
Well, we intercepted the ball the first play of the drive. We got a penalty, and then we dropped another one on third down. When you do that, when you have those many opportunities, you'll cash in, it makes you nervous. So our D-line has been playing pretty good, and they've been stepping up for us for the last 3 weeks. So I kind of feel good about it, and we just made a play.
I love it. All right, the last couple of weeks have not been as great as you'd like your football team to play. You had the tough loss to Riverdale, the tough loss to Smith County. What was kind of the theme at practice this week, Coach?
Oh, we kind of got some internal things going on. You know, we got some young guys starting on the offensive line now, three sophomores, and that makes a difference. You know, had to do what's better for the program. So we have three guys that had to step in because, you know, either you buy in or you got to buy out. And so this time of the year, we got three sophomores starting. So we got to catch them up to speed. And today they played well. And I just told them, it's your time to shine, and it's the most important time to shine. But the defense has been holding us down. And the defense has been playing stellar. And like I said, they kept us in the game, and we made some plays. And it's been frustrating, but like I said, as long as you get to meet them, I told them, as long as we get to see you on Monday, we did a good job on Friday.
Coach Jamal Stewart joins us right now from East Nashville. They got a big win in the first round against White House tonight. And Coach, here in the playoffs too, I mean, we discussed some upsets that we've already seen tonight too. But like, what's the importance of really not overestimating or underestimating the opponent you guys have ahead? Because I mean, White House may not be as flashy as Waverly and Fairview this season, but they were still a really solid team, and it still takes a lot to be able to win these playoff games.
Coach Hamilton, man, he's a great coach. And like I said, their whole team is hard-nosed. They're tough. They're going to run right at you. You got to either man up or man out. So, I mean, that's what they did. And like I said, I told the kids Monday morning when we met in weightlifting, I said, if they're playing this Friday, you have to respect them. Because it don't matter what the record is. You got to play four quarters of full football, and the record goes out the window because it's 0-0 now. And I said, there's nothing that would make that season and knocking off the two seed or a team that beat them in the previous year in the playoffs and to come to East Nashville, hit us in the mouth, and get to play next week. And I said, don't be that senior class to let that happen. And respect the game of football. I preach that every week, respect the game of football. Don't underestimate anybody. So when you put your hand in the dirt and that guy's in front of you, you treat him the same way you would treat the number one player in the country, which we face from Riverdale, versus the guy that's on a 2-8 team. Respect the game of football and let it come to you and watch the end results. So we did a good job today.
Absolutely. And, Coach, obviously, you know, Joe mentioned earlier, you talked about a couple of those heartbreaking losses to end the season. But what does the win do moving forward for you guys? Does it kind of instill the confidence, even in some of those young offensive linemen that are having to assimilate in new roles quickly? What does this win, I guess, do for you guys moving forward now that you're going to have to play a really, really good Waverly team?
I mean, it's big. Like I said, we dropped two games in a row, so – you know, that we lost a lot last week. And I explained that to them. last week, that loss lost the region. We lost home field advantage. We lost confidence. We lost opportunity to go to the Titans game. So I gave them so many things that we lost. But I said all that goes out the window because you get to play again on Friday and you can restart. So and I mentioned my right guard today was freshman. That's what it was. So now I have a sophomore, freshman, sophomore with Friday night experience versus a tough-nosed team in the first round of playoffs. Now they got confidence going into week two. You see what I'm saying? So now as coaches, we understand who we're playing against and what they are, but these kids are just understanding we got a game Friday, and they don't know who they're lining up against yet. They're just ready to go play football.
Wow, fantastic. Coach Stewart, thank you for this. As always, joining us, and best of luck against Waverly next week. I know you know that's going to be a tough one, so we appreciate the time, Coach, as always. Thank you.
Thank you guys for having us. Have a good night.
All right, it's Coach Stewart at East Nashville. Let's go back to the phone lines, brought to you by Elijah Campbell Enterprises, bringing the head coach at Blackman, Coach Chandler Thigard, who he's become our best friend on the show. We have him every week. Coach, congratulations on the win over Cookeville tonight. You said last week it was not going to be an easy game. I know y'all won 49-20, but still, it's a first round of the playoffs, and anything could happen. You guys got the win tonight. Congratulations.
Yeah, thanks, guys. Appreciate it. Also being on with y'all every week.
What was going right for your football team tonight? Because you just played this team, what, 2 weeks ago?
Yeah, and that's a challenge, you know. So we knew they were going to change some things. So they came out. You know, we scored on the opening play of the game, a jet sweep pass from Elijah Pitts to Justin Brown. So that started us off really well. They came out, they changed their offense. They got a little eye formation trying to hold the ball, doing some triple option stuff. But, you know, we went up 14-0 and got another onside kick, our ninth of the year, went up 20-0 or 20-7. And I believe it was 28-14 at halftime. You know, credit to them. They changed their offense and their defense. They came out different schemes, and they held the ball a lot more. They ran off like 7 minutes of the third quarter. So the game wasn't as crazy. We're disappointed. We only had 430 total yards. You know, it was a good win, so we'll take it.
Congratulations. All right, now you move on next week. You'll take on Coffee County. I don't know if you know anything about Coffee County. They won tonight in overtime against Stewart's Creek. As Coach Stewart just said earlier, if it's Friday night and you're in the playoffs, you have to respect every team, correct?
Oh, no doubt. And Cookeville, you know, it's very tough to motivate 16, 17-year-olds when you blew them out 2 weeks prior. And they're well coached. They've got a bunch of former college coaches, and, you know, they came out with a different plan, totally different front on defense, totally different offense, and tried to hold the ball and keep away from us. And it worked and kept us from the game getting too out of hand, and that's credit to them.
Talking to Coach Chandler Thigard from the Blackman Blaze, who set my alma mater ablaze tonight, 49-20 win over Cookeville. Right. And Coach, I mean, we talk about your offense on the show every time you come on, and rightfully so. It's arguably the best in the state. But Cookeville's offense has put up a lot of really good numbers, too, one of the best passing offenses in the state. What did your defense do well tonight to be able to settle in and hold them to 20 points?
Yeah, they've got a good little solid quarterback, a couple good receivers. Their quarterback is actually, I think, second in 6A in passing. And so it is a challenge. You know, we love our defensive backs, though. We play a lot of cover three, and we think we've got the best three guys back there between Jacob Page, Justin Brown, you know, who's up for Mr. Football, and then Elijah Pitts. So we play a lot of just zone defense and try to read the quarterback and get collisions underneath. And, you know, it's a challenge when their quarterback could spin it. And he was on tonight. You know, they didn't have any turnovers like they had the first time we played. So they completed a lot of balls and completed a ton of fourth down conversions on us. So, they played better for sure. And we're just happy to get the win and move on to Coffee County. I think, guys, y'all might know, I think it's their first playoff win in school history. And so to host us next week, I'd say we're playing Coffee County plus the entire town of Manchester and surrounding areas. So it's going to be a challenge for our kids. You know, I coached at a rural school before I got up here, and I've already tried to warn them now, like, get ready now, because that entire town is going to be there, and it's going to be straight bananas. It's probably the biggest game in their school's history to play us next week. So that's going to be a challenge for sure.
Yeah, I mean, absolutely. I've been to a few games at Coffee County High School in technically Coffee County Central High School, but they pack it up. That is a raucous environment for really big games. So that's going to be a fun one for you and your team to play in. But the last question for me, Coach, is in the first round of the playoffs every year, I kind of like to make it almost like a memorandum on how these regions match up against other regions, right? You see some regions do 3 out of 4, a rare clean sweep or whatever. And one of the biggest winners region-wise tonight, I think, was y'all's region. I mean, obviously, Oakland dominated. You guys dominated. Riverdale on the road took Lebanon to 2 overtimes. And then Stewart's Creek on the road took Coffee County to an overtime. So 3 and 4 teams had to play on the road, played and combined 3 overtimes tonight. But what does that say? It's about the competitiveness of your league. And while you and Oakland get a lot of the pub, as you guys should, the depth of that league is what's really impressive. And I'm sure not a lot of people got to appreciate that this year.
Guys, football in Rutherford County is, you know, I've been in the SEC, and this feels like the SEC West of Tennessee 6A football. So if you notice, the 6A Mr. Football finalists, I believe it's 4 out of 5 are from our county. So Smyrna's not in our region, but our county dominates that deal. And it's tough. I mean, just to play region games, I mean, we had to fight like crazy to beat Siegel last week, who didn't even make the playoffs, but they've got a 5-5 record, and they're 5-0 in non-region games. And, you know, Stewart's Creek is very well coached. Riverdale's got absolute monsters on both sides of the ball. And then Oakland's done such a good job since Coach Creasy's been there for so long. So it's a challenge just to play any region games, you know, but it's hats off to Lebanon and Coffee County for winning those. And, you know, I know Chuck pretty well, so I'm happy for him. I know he's thrilled. And, you know, so that's big to win in overtime. It's tough in the first round to get to that many overtimes. But, you know, it's going to be a challenge. You know, we want to represent our county well, and we know the expectations that when you play in Rutherford County and what that means in the playoffs. And, you know, it's going to be a tough game next week, and we just got to figure out how to manage the crowd. We're playing on grass for only the second time all season. You know, we've had 8 home games this year, so we're going to be on the road for the first time since week 5. So
wow.
There's going to be a lot of challenges for us.
Oh, wow.
Oh, that's crazy. Coach, as always, thanks for your time. Best of luck next week. We really appreciate you to come on the show, Coach. Thank you for everything.
Hey, thanks, Joe and Elijah, man. Appreciate all y'all do. Y'all call me every time. It's great. Go Blaze.
Will do. Coach Chandler Thigard tonight with the big win. All right, before we go to the break, let's bring in Noah, who was covering the after the break. After the break. Okay, I'm getting told. All right, so no, don't go anywhere. All right, we'll get a break, get updates for you, scores, everything. We still got another hour and a half left here on the Game Blitz right here on 102.5, 106.3 of the Game, brought to you by Apple Collision Center and National Playmakers Academy. All right, welcome back here to the Game Blitz on 102.5, 106.3 of the Game. What an amazing night of high school football, round one in Middle Tennessee. Some amazing games, overtime games, some upsets, simply fantastic. So before we go anymore, let's hit the update. Hit it, Kenny. All right, all these games are final. Beach over McGavick, 49-22. Blackman over Cookeville, 49-20. Brentwood beats Collierville, 17-7. Cambridge over Gallatin, 48-0. Clarksville over Overton, 47-14. Lakeway Christian in overtime beats Clarksville Academy, 43-42. Coffee County in overtime beats Stewart's Creek, 28-21. CP over Boyd Buchanan, 27-16. East Nashville over White House, 14-10. East Robertson over Polk County, 55-28. Fairview Rose over Maplewood, 41-0. Fayetteville over South Fulton, 75-28. Giles County over Brainerd, 46-8. FRA over Knox Grace, 49-27. Lebanon in double overtime beats Riverdale, 41-34. Lewis County over Cascade, 32-24. Marshall County over Chester County, 49-17. Moore County over McEwen, 28-14. Monterey over Happy Valley, 40-6. Mount Juliet over Lincoln County, 43-6. Mount Pleasant over Scotts Hill, 41-0. Middle Tennessee Christian, 38. Tipton Rosemark, 7. Nolensville, 41. Wilson Central, 3. Oakland, 65. Shelbyville, nothing. Page beats Green Hill, 48-21. Pearl Cone over Jackson Southside, 38-0. Pope John over Briarcrest, 35-13. Ravenwood loses to Germantown, 30-20. Adamsville upsets Richland, 35-34. Smith County over Sycamore, 41-0. Smyrna over Hendersonville, 27-3. Springfield over Memphis Central, 27-7. Stone Memorial over Hickson, 37-0. Upperman beats Chattanooga Central, 34-7. Waverly over Stratford, 52-24. Westmoreland beats Meigs County, 16-12. White County over Franklin County, 49-30. York over Cumberland, 60-8. Bartlett 46, Centennial 21, Dresden over Eagleville 45-14, Hardin County over Creekwood 14-7, Houston beats Independence 27-10, Lexington over Greenbrier 40-6, Munford beats Clarksville Northeast 36-18, Davidson Academy 29-14 over North Point Christian, Riverside beats Loretto 49-3, Portland with the upset of the night knocks off Southwind 11-7, Bledsoe over Harpeth 22-0. East Hamilton knocks off DeKalb County 21-14, and Henry County beats Dyer County 49-14. All right, Elijah, let's go to the phone lines and bring in Noah McKay, who was covering the White County game tonight. Noah, what's happening, brother?
How's it going, guys? The longest game in high school football history, it seemed like, just came to end about half an hour ago.
Oh, my goodness. Was that the first playoff win ever for White County?
They have been playing football in White County for a long time, nearly 100 years, and that is the first time they have a playoff win. They've only been to the playoffs nine times, including this year, and they get the win tonight in impressive fashion over Franklin County.
Tell me, is Sparta losing their mind tonight? What's going on up there?
It's a big party in Sparta tonight. That's a safe thing to say, and it was one of those goosebump moments because it's a proud community. You know, they're good in every sport, and football has just been the kind of ugly stepchild at times for White County. But Coach Frazier's built this program the right way, and tonight it was Malachi Dowell, who, of course, 5A semifinalist, Mr. Football. If he doesn't win the award, then they should cancel the award, nearing 3,000 yards rushing. But a name people need to know is Tripp Pinion, the sophomore quarterback. Tonight, White County scored 49 points and didn't throw the ball one time. Pinion ran for four touchdowns, over 200 yards. Dowell ran for 300 yards and three touchdowns. And Franklin County legitimately put 11 defenders in the box. And that White County offensive line with those two backs just mashed them into the ground. You know, Sparta's not a wing T team. They can throw the football, but tonight they established the run. The game was more lopsided than even the score made it look. The only stops tonight for Franklin County came on penalties, which there were a lot of in the football game. And White County just ran the football at will, and it was a party at Warrior Stadium tonight. There's no doubt about it.
Wow. Wild stuff. Noah McKay from the UC Reporter on with us right now. And Noah, I mean, hearing not just the history of the game, but hearing that White County really put up almost 50 points in a playoff game without having to throw the ball, it is pretty remarkable. I mean, how special has it been to be able to watch the season that Malachi Dowell has had this year? I know Tripp Pinion has been a breakout star too, but I mean, eclipsing 3,000 rushing yards in a season is a pretty remarkable feat.
Yeah, he's sensational. There's no words that are too far to describe how good of a tailback he is. And look, maybe the most humble kid I've ever met in my entire life, which is saying something, because if I was that good, you would never hear from the end of me. But that kid consistently gives credit to everybody else. And I'll tell you, though, you hit on something there. The difference this year for Sparta is Tripp Pinion, because tonight Franklin County clearly made it an effort to stop Malachi Dowell. Now it didn't really work, 300 yards. But Tripp Pinion is so good as well that it gives them that second option that they need. I'll tell you, this is a team that goes to Nolensville next week, and Nolensville is going to be the favorite. But that's going to be a shootout. That's going to be a good game because they're not going to stop that White County rushing attack. Just nobody's done it. But for Malachi, he's clearly destined for this Mr. Football Award. He deserves it. He's a great kid. It's a good thing he's getting these offers rolling in. He's going to be playing on Saturday somewhere. But it's a special, special thing to watch. And as I've told our viewers and when I write about him, I go, you got to enjoy this one. This isn't commonplace. And if you're in the area, you need to go out and watch him play. You just need to go see it in person because it's something else.
Wow, fantastic stuff. Noah McKay from the UC Reporter joins us from a historic game in Sparta, Tennessee tonight. A fun matchup that they have going into next week against Nolensville. That one should be a blast. Noah, appreciate you joining us, man, as always, and look forward to talking to you again next week.
Thanks, guys. Love the show. You do a great job.
Oh, Noah. Thanks, buddy. All right, let's go back to the phone lines brought to you by Elijah Campbell Enterprises, being the head coach at Lebanon, Chuck Gentry. Coach, I'm just curious, what's your resting heart rate right now?
I ain't let anybody get close to me to even check it.
Congratulations. Double overtime win over Riverdale, 41-34. Going in, I've talked to Elijah, my co-host, before the game tonight, and I said, this is the game. This is the game we all should be watching, and it lived up to everything. What a battle. I mean, it was just a great football game, Coach. You got to be over the moon proud of your team.
Very, very, very proud of our team. You know, I ask our guys, we've been battling the flu and the crud and the stomach bug. There's been about 20 of us down tonight, well, this week. And we came together and pulled it together with medicine and Zofluza and IVs and everything else. And very, very proud of our kids. And, you know, it wasn't one for the faint of heart. And we knew there would be a lot of people watching and wanting to know who won this game, and you know, were we not the team that we were last year? And I'm so proud of our kids to be able to, you know, hang on against a really, really good Riverdale team.
What you get up a nice little lead in the game there. You seem in control. They start coming back. I mean, what was kind of the mood on the team right now with the staff when, because you know Riverdale was not going to go away. I guess that was a thing, like, this team is not going to go away until we put them away. Was that kind of the attitude?
Well, you know, we told them at halftime, guys, it's 0-0. They're a good football team, and they're not going to lay down, and they're not going to quit. And with the tradition that they have, and all the players that they have, and coaching staff, there, you know, and we felt like we needed to go out after halftime and take that first drive, and you know, and next thing you know, they pop inside zone for a touchdown, hit a long one over the top for a touchdown, and we're in a fight. And at the end of regulation, I pulled our kids together and said, relax, take a deep breath. It's 0-0. You can't do anything about and then let's go take it. Don't leave any doubt. Let's go take it. And I think we turned it up a little bit in overtime.
Talking to Coach Chuck Gentry from Lebanon and his team with the thrilling double overtime win tonight. And Coach, I want to take it back to that moment, too, where it does go to overtime. You're trying to settle your group down. How difficult is that to kind of corral the emotions of not just yourself, but a bunch of, you know, 14 to 18-year-old kids in a game that is basically with your season on the line, controlling them, being able to kind of focus on the task at hand?
Well, I will say this, dealing with 14 to 18-year-olds, there's a reason that I'm thinning up top, graying on the sides, and expanding at the waistline. You know, I was very proud of our kids for keeping their composure. You know, we scored there and got the personal foul, unsportsmanlike, whatever it was there when Anthony scored. Bless his heart, he got excited, and, you know, he 2 weeks ago or 4 weeks ago, he was told that he may not ever play football again. And for him to come back, it's the first time he'd been in the end zone. And, you know, he was just excited. Ball slips out and, you know, he'd up in the air and they'd get a penalty. And it was a penalty. I'm not fussing about the call. But, you know, Anthony Crowell's done a lot for this football team and program. And, you know, it's just one of those things. And he was – very, very remorseful on the sideline to his teammates. And I said, let's pick him up. Let's go. It is what it is. And, you know, with defense held on there at the end to save the victory.
Coach, I want to take it back to Anthony, too. I mean, you mentioned that he was told he might not play football again. And, of course, that's a very emotional touchdown. But what's it been like, I guess, for him to go through this journey that he's been on this season, and for your team to be able to rally around him and kind of use that the way you guys did tonight?
Well, he is a very, very integral part of our football program and our team. Great kid. When you look at him and the way he practices, the way he conducts himself, all this stuff, great kid, you know. I was more excited that he got a – I'm going to plug a little academics here, that he got a 22 on his ACT this week. You know, that was a big win for him in his college journey. But, you know, we had some ups and downs. We hugged, we cried, we talked about it. And, you know, the doctors were being 100% careful with him. And his mother said, Coach, I trust you. Let's treat him like yours. And what would you do? And I said, well, if 37 doctors all over the world that are neurologists, the same guys that are working on Peyton Manning, says Anthony Crowell's okay, I trust them. And I said, they're not ever going to put a kid in danger. And I trust them. And they said, you've been playing since you were six. Go play ball. And so it was when he run back on the field last week to practice, and he could have played last week. It was an emotional lift for our football team and our program. And I'm glad that he was out there tonight.
Fantastic. I hope this win did not give our good friend Tommy Bryan a heart attack. I hope he's doing okay, because reading the game, how this all unfolded, just – fantastic. Coach, thank you for the time. Congratulations and everything. And you move on, and just we'll see you next Friday night, Coach. Thank you.
Yes, sir. Thank you all.
All right, that's Coach Chuck Gentry at Lebanon. The big win, double overtime over Riverdale tonight, 41-34. Mm-hmm. Fantastic. Oakland awaits next week. All right, we'll take another break. We got more coaches on the other side. The Game Blitz rolls on to midnight right here on 102.5, 106.3, The Game. All right, welcome back to the Game Blitz on 102.5, 106.3 The Game, brought to you by National Playmakers Academy, Apple Collision Center. Let's go back to the phone line, brought to you by Elijah Campbell Enterprises, and bring the head coach of Pope John Paul, Coach Brian Snead. Tonight his team gets a big win, and they're moving on. They'll take on Brentwood Academy next week. Coach, congratulations on the win. Thanks for joining us.
Yeah, thank you, guys. I appreciate it.
Did we see video? I mean, I saw video of Kenny Minchie playing tonight. How much did he play tonight, Coach?
He went wire to wire. He played the whole game. He was back.
Oh, that's fantastic. I mean, I'd love it. I'm so that he got injured early this year. I hated that for him, but it had to be great to have this young man back that means so much to your football team.
Oh, for sure. I mean, whenever you have your playmakers on the field, it raises the level of everyone's play. I mean, you look at our game tonight. Our defense played better. Our special teams played better. Everyone just had more confidence, that Kenny was back out on the field. And, you know, Chet had done a great job for us to get us to this point. It was time for Kenny to kind of to come back and take the lead on that. And he just kind of gave a new breath of confidence to our football team.
You know, we had coaches on tonight who talked about, you know, playing teams that the record might indicate how good they are. You guys played Briarcrest tonight at 5-5. And Coach Jamal Stewart at East Nashville had a great thing and said, if they're playing on Friday night, they're in the playoffs, you must respect them. And I guess that was kind of the attitude with you guys taking on Briarcrest tonight, too, the same way.
Oh, absolutely. You know, they're a good football team. You know, every good team in Division II AAA is a good football team. And they made some plays. They had a chance to kind of get back in the game. Number three made some really good plays for them on offense and, you know, had a pick six that kind of kept them in the game late. And our team kind of had moments where we had to figure out, are we going to let this one, you know, get away from us, or are we going to stand up and figure it out? And you know, credit our team for kind of stepping up and getting it done late in the second half.
Talking to Coach Brian Snead, his Pope John Paul team got a big win against Briarcrest tonight, 35-13 in their first round game. And Coach, I mean, your team, given like the obviously nice to have Kenny Minchie back, but your team has had a lot of injuries that you've had to really fight through this season. And it's been a roller coaster that saw, I guess, your team almost have to be Elmer's glued together on the offense and defensive side of the ball. But how would you say that kind of adversity has prepared your team for this kind of playoff setting?
I mean, I think we're probably one of the most battle-tested teams out there. We had a freshman center step up and play tonight, and a freshman running back come in, and we've had guys that have gotten experience over the past, you know, 6 or 7 weeks that we didn't anticipate getting that experience, and that's just made us a better football team from top to bottom. When you have guys that can kind of step up and step in when they're needed, and then when you start getting healthy and you start getting some starters back, we're just a better football team at that point, because now you have, you know, more depth on your team, and that's kind of what, you know, if there is a silver lining with some of the injuries that we've had, is that we've been able to build some depth from week to week.
Mm-hmm. And with that built depth, I mean, you're going to have to need it, because coming up next is Brentwood Academy, an 8-2 Brentwood Academy team. Yet didn't play them in the regular season. What do you know about Brentwood Academy so far, and How does the team feel coming into that game, knowing that they're a little healthier and a lot deeper than they were at the beginning of the season?
Sure. I mean, it's one of those things we talk about, in our program. We're focused on our team. We know Brentwood Academy well. We used to be in a region with them. We played them the last two seasons in the postseason. Both of them came down to the wire. I think they beat us by a field goal a couple years ago. We beat them by a field goal last year. So, we're familiar with them. We know what kind of playmakers that they have and things that they like to do. And I'm sure they're familiar with us. And, we're expecting a battle. The guys after the game tonight that, us playing Brentwood Academy again and knowing what kind of game that's going to be should bring out the best in us, just like it should bring out the best of them. It should be a good playoff atmosphere.
I love it. Coach, congratulations. I'm glad your young man, your leader's back on the field. He's okay. And congratulations on the win. Anytime you win the playoff, it's like winning in the NFL. It's not easy, but you got it done tonight. Coach, congratulations and good luck next week against Brentwood Academy.
All right. Thank you, guys. I appreciate it.
Absolutely. All right. Let's go back to the phone lines. Brought to you by Elijah Campbell Enterprises and bringing the head coach at Henry County, Coach James Counts. His team wins over Dyer County tonight, 49-14. Coach, congratulations. Thanks for joining us.
Yes, sir. Thank you for having me.
Absolutely. Talk about your team tonight. I mean, you've been on a roll lately. I mean, you South Gibson, Springfield, Paducah, Tillman. You went Northeast. You go to Portland. You win tonight. But now you get to the playoffs. And some teams, as you well know, Coach, can be overconfident going to the playoffs. How did you keep your guys on kind of an even level this week in practice and heading into this game?
Well, it was, we had some adversity this week. I don't know about everybody else, but had several kids that were sick. We got, kind of battling the flu. Some of them got the flu. Some of them got strep throat. And so we had some adversity there that we had to deal with. Some guys that, didn't get a full speed practice in Monday, Tuesday, or Wednesday. And, you worry about, how those guys are, the speed of the game and how they're going to play. We came out and guys, just very proud of the kids for, being able to handle that kind of stuff during the week and still be focused on the game and come out fast. And that's what you got to do. And it kind of took the wind out of Dyer County tonight early. That's what I'm most proud of, the way they kind of handled the situations this week and were able to come out and still play fast and come out of the gate kind of hot, So, just proud of that. And, we just got to take one week at a time and kind of keep blinders on and understand that, we do well. We give these seniors another opportunity to play another week.
I love it. We're talking to James Counts, head football coach at Henry County. All right, so now you're going to take on Portland. They got a big one over Southwind. You just played them a few weeks ago. When you look at the tape of a team like Portland and you see them, a team has a chance to be, again, overconfident. Like, we just beat them a few weeks ago. Now, how are you going to get your guys to look and say, look, Portland's won. Forget what happened a few weeks ago. Is that easy to do?
No, it's not easy to do. Depending on, kind of what the game scenario's like the first time, they had some guys that I talked to our kids about this tonight. They had some guys with some injuries when we went up there last week, and obviously they got some of those kids back, and we got to just look at film, and maybe it'll be a different team. And that's kind of how we need to go about this is, it's hard to beat somebody twice in a year. You can't look at, this time of the year in the playoffs, you can't look at, your body of work before then. You got to go into this week as we've never played and look at the things that they did tonight against Southwind and go to work and get ready to play as though we hadn't played, one good thing about it is we'll be at home, so that'll be hopefully a little factor for us.
Talking to Coach James Counts, the Henry County Patriots, a big playoff win against Dyer County tonight. They got Portland next week. And Coach, we had Coach Coleman on from Summit in the first hour of the show, talking about a lot of the teams that are in the playoffs, previewing a lot of these games. We talked about your team a lot too. And the one thing he really mentioned was your dominance on the line, and specifically from Luke Brown, the Arkansas commit, and how great he's been this season. But how would you describe your players in the trenches, especially the season that Luke Brown's had and the impact that it has on the overall aspect of the game?
Well, obviously, you know, Luke is, he's a very special player. You know, he got all the things that a kid at that caliber needs to have to play in the SEC. And, you know, I'm sure that we have some tendencies that you know, we run behind him. And when you have good players, you know, sometimes you're going to have some tendencies there. But, you know, I think the biggest thing is how he has handled himself, and then the way that he's kind of mentored these other guys that, you know, we've continued to get better up front. And some of those younger guys that we had seniors last year, we had four that we had to replace, and these guys have, you know, gotten better throughout the year, you know, which you would hope they would. And you know, Luke has a big part of that, you know, kind of being the bell cow up front and being able to get those guys to kind of excel and get better each week. So he's a, you know, he's a great player. You know, he's got everything, the size, length, and he's got a great motor too. So we're going to keep riding him as long as we can.
Mm-hmm. And last one for me here, Coach, too. I'm still heavy on the bandwagon here. I still think you guys are the best team in 5A, probably the most complete. But what about, I guess, your team that has kind of improved as the season has gone along? And for those, I guess, in the Nashville area that aren't as familiar with your group, how would you describe the identity of your team for a lot of those people?
Well, we're probably not more athletic than a lot of people. You know, we've got some good players. We hang our hat on being physical, trying to win the line of scrimmage, you know, that's kind of where we are. You know, we have gotten better on the back end in the secondary. We had a few kids that were banged up, but those kids are back. You know, we're going to play a physical style and hope that, you know, we can keep the chains moving and run the football first, but then do our play action stuff. We do throw the ball a little more now than we have in years past because of, you know, what our quarterback can do. You know, he started for us as a freshman, won 10 games in 5A as a freshman. We're able to do some things with him and we're catching the ball really well right now too. We're a physical style. We hope so. And that's kind of where we hang our hat.
It's fantastic. Coach, we'll let you go. Elijah, the co-host here, has said since week one, he's been on your bandwagon. So I promised him that if you guys, I said this last week, you get to the state, he gets to go out for the coin toss and wear a jersey. Can we make that happen?
Absolutely.
At this point, I'm calling at least a play.
We'll make that happen.
All right, good to Chattanooga. Elijah, there you go. Get to go down to Henry County. Coach, thank you. I know it's a late night. We always appreciate you coming on and what you do for high school football. Best of luck. We'll talk to you next week, Coach. Thank you.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
All right, that's James Counts, head coach at Henry County. Elijah, you're welcome, buddy. I got you on the field.
That's right. Like I said, at this point, I am like two or three interviews away from calling some plays here. I am going to infiltrate the sideline for that game there to make it to the state championship.
I love it. All right, we're late to the break. We'll come back. We'll run down the matchups for next week right here with Elijah, myself, and Big Kenny. You're listening to the Game Blitz. We got you till midnight right here on 102.5, 106.3, The Game.